grown up in the Lord and ministering to adults, because someday he's going to have to do that. So a couple of months, at least 2 months out of the year, he's going to be doing a series a month long. So this will be November. The 20th, we'll be receiving our Never Thirst offering, and then we'll go into the Christmas holidays. You know, I'm really sad this year because we're not doing a Christmas play. And I hope this is a one-year sabbatical. But it's going to take a lot of folks to help us do that. So we're going to go into the Christmas season. Now, not many people have asked me yet, but what about Christmas? You know what day Christmas is on this year, don't you? Sunday. So here's what we're going to do. The Wednesday night before Christmas, we're going to have just a regular service. We're going to have just like we do on Sunday mornings. We're just going to make it a regular service. Some of you are going to be traveling Christmas, so you can come Wednesday night to that service. But we are also going to do a Christmas morning service at 11 o'clock on Christmas Day. We've got a lot of folks going to be gone that day. We may do communion that day. I've got somebody coming in to do some singing for us. But we're going to celebrate. You know, it'd just be a shame not to have church on Christmas Day. We're celebrating Jesus' birthday, so it kind of be a shame to say, "Well, we're not going to have church because of Christmas." And then I'm thinking, "Ooh, there's just something not good about that." So we're going to kind of give you a choice. If you're going to be out of town on that Sunday, we'll have a service that Wednesday. And if you want to come to both, you can. If you want to pick and choose, you can. But it won't be like a Wednesday night service. It'll be like a Sunday morning service. So hopefully that will meet the need. Let's remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. And let's don't make it all about the festive part of it. And I love the movies. And I love the jingle bells, jingle bells. I love all of that. But it just can't be all about that. We need to remember that we need to worship too. Amen? Okay. I'm going to do this is not a series. This is just a one sermon thing. I don't do that very often. But today we're going to talk about borrowed offenses. Borrowed offenses. A good friend of mine, Vic Porter, wrote a book by this title. And if you've never read that book, you ought to order a copy. See, I'm promoting books, aren't I? I've become a reader, and I believe in reading. And if you're going to be a leader, you got to be a reader. Leaders are readers. And the reason that some people never grow is because they don't read their Bible, they don't read books, they don't study, they just go to church, and you don't grow that way. You can grow a little bit, but you're not going to grow like you should. But he wrote this book called Borrowed Offenses. And the Lord just kind of laid this on my heart. I want to give you a couple definitions, and we're going to look at some scripture. But the word borrow, to borrow something. And it means to take and use something that belongs to someone else with the intention of returning it. Now, that's interesting when you use that word with offenses. One thing that we all deal with as human beings is offenses. Being offended. How many in here have ever been offended in their life? Let me see your hand. Is there anybody in here that's never been offended in their life? I think that's something that we have all dealt with. Where someone does something directly to us that offends us. Now, we could do a series on that, but that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about a borrowed offense. And by that, we mean something, borrowing something that belongs to someone else. In other words, borrowing someone else's offense. And see, here's how that works. Let's say that, let me just make up some names here, that Bill and Jane have a problem. That maybe Bill says or does something to Jane that offends her. And Jane goes to Sally and she says to Sally, Do you know what Bill did to me? Do you know what Bill did to me? The next time that she sees Bill, she's offended at Bill. And she treats Bill differently than she normally would because she has borrowed Jane's offense. Now, have we ever done that? Oh, I guarantee you we have. We've done things like that. And see, here is the danger in doing something like that, because sometimes what we perceive to be the truth is not always the truth. We don't know what happened between Bill and Jane. Maybe Jane said something to Bill first, and then Bill said something back to her, and she took offense at it. Maybe she was just as offensive to him as he was to her, and she goes away, and you don't get the whole picture. You get half the picture. But nonetheless, you are offended at Bill because what Jane said. Now, I've known this happen at school. You know, a kid comes home and says, "That teacher is mean to me." And mom and dad run to school and they're ready to jump all over that teacher. And they come to find out that little Johnny didn't tell them the whole story. Little Johnny, I mean, they're all mad at the school and they're going to sue and they're going to do all of this and they're upset. And I mean, they're ready to burn houses and, you know, I like to say that a lot. Let's burn their house down. You know, they want vengeance. I want that person fired. But what we didn't know is what little Johnny did to get in trouble. And the teacher punished him for something that she should have punished him for. But yet he didn't tell the whole story. He just told his side of the story. That's called a borrowed offense. Those are very, very dangerous to get involved in. They really are. Now, I want to read some scripture. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12. Hatred. Now, hatred could come several different ways. It could come because of an offense, but it could come because of a borrowed offense. But notice what else it says here. It says, hatred stirs up strife. If James and I get into it, and there is an offense between us, and he hates me because of that offense, and he goes and he starts telling other people, and he starts stirring up strife in the body, I wonder how many churches have been divided over stuff like that. See, I know of some instances, not this church, because we don't do business this way. But there are churches. Now, we get offended sometimes. I'm not saying we never get offended. If we never get offended, the Lord wouldn't lay this message on my heart. And I'm aware that people get offended sometimes. And that's why we need to talk about offenses and borrowed offenses, because we can't. You just don't know what an offense will do to you. Okay? Whether it's borrowed or you being offended. I love the saying that I heard, if you can't be offended, you can't be defeated. But if you can be offended, then you can be defeated. But I know that and I know this story in particular, but we'll keep it in generalities. It doesn't have to do with this church. But there are certain churches that every few years they vote on their pastor. Well, about the year that vote comes up, there are people who do not like the pastor. Maybe he stepped on their toes, or maybe he didn't do everything to suit them. So they go around in the church and they start marshaling their forces. Well, do you know that that's the most unfriendly preacher that we've ever had? You know, he's not like Brother So-and-so. Brother So-and-so was so kind, and our pastor is so rude and arrogant. And they just begin to, I mean, there's a hatred in their heart that they have, whether it's for authority or for, because usually those kind of people are mad at everybody in authority. Are you out there this morning? They're just mad at everybody in authority. And they'll begin to stir the pot. We call it stirring the pot. And they'll begin to talk to people. And the first thing you know, people begin to buy into their offense. And then when it comes voting time, they go in there and they do this little deal. And what does that do to a church body? What does that, hurt a church body when that stuff begins to happen? This means yes, it does. What does it do to the unity and the chemistry and the potential of that body? What happens when that kind of stuff gets out in the community? That this church is at odds. I mean, they're fussing and fighting among themselves and they're at odds. What does that do in the community as a whole? What does that do in the community of the unsaved? See, they're looking for an excuse because God's probably dealing with them. They may be backslidden or they may be something, but they're looking for an excuse to, well, that's the reason I don't go to church. All Christians are hypocrites. All they do is fuss and fight. And they judge each other. They devour each other. Well, the world does the same thing. Don't believe for one minute that the world is not judgmental. I don't recommend this, but if you don't believe that, get on topics. You can find that out in a hurry. They are very critical and judgmental. But these are called borrowed offenses. So hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. So what should we do when somebody comes at us and they're spewing their hatred, they're spewing their offense at us? What should we do? Should we lend our ears to that? See, I don't care if it's about the church, if it's about somebody in the church, or if it's about somebody in your family, if it's about whatever it is, we don't need to get involved in that as a church because it is a poison to our own soul. I have had times when I hear one part of a story. You know, and I heard a story the other day about one of my friends. And he's going through some difficult times and different things. And I heard some rumors about him. I don't know if they're true or not. If they're true, they're not good. But you know, I got to thinking in my heart, so well, he probably deserved that then. And I've only heard one part of the story. My heart got drawn into somebody's offense. Somebody's gossip about somebody. And it's almost like you're offended in your heart that you feel ought against your brother because of a story that you've heard about him and his dealings with people and maybe employees or something. And then you think in your heart, well, he's deserving what he's getting then. And I thought that in my own mind. And then I thought, I don't know the whole story. I don't need to judge. In fact, what I need to do, if I'm walking in love, my attitude needs, I need to give him the benefit of the doubt. Until I know, I need to cover him with love. I need to cover him with love. Even if he is wrong, I need to cover him with love because I may have the opportunity to minister to him. So what if he has done wrong? What if he has defrauded? What if he has done something like that? I need to be there to cover him. I know a church in this town that had a lady. Oh, I got to be careful. Had a lady in their church that did something wrong and got in trouble with the law. And she was ashamed to go back to her church because she did wrong. And that church body did the right thing. They were not offended by her sin. What they did is they surrounded her. They didn't ignore it. They surrounded her. They supported her. And they restored her. And while she paid for her, the thing that she did wrong, they ministered to that family. And that family's still together today. But see, they could have become offended because they could have got in that borrowed offense. Oh, they did something wrong. They've broken the law. Well, the law will deal with that. We don't need to be in the atmosphere that we are offended by what people do wrong. We don't need to borrow that offense. Because you will never be in the place that you can minister grace. See, you cannot minister love and grace when you have hate in your heart. Hate stirs up what? Strife. Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a castle. What happens when we become offended? We imprison, are you listening to me? We imprison our own soul. You may justify your offense. Well, they hurt my friend. Or they said this, or they did this, and or they embarrassed this person or that person. They did this wrong. But we embrace the offense. We borrow it. Remember we said borrowing something that belongs to someone else with the thought of repaying it. Because here's what we'll do if we borrow offense. It may be James' offense, but if I borrow the offense, when I get a chance, I will repay it and I will offend the person who offended him. And then what happens? And then what happens? We have strife. What happens to me? I cut myself away from all ministry. I cut myself away from being God's instrument of restoration. I cannot afford to be offended. You say, yeah, you're the pastor. Let me say this to you equally as strong. You as a child of God, you as a member of the body of Christ, you cannot afford to be offended. You cannot afford to borrow someone else's offense because you don't know the whole story. They may be rightly offended. They may be wrongly offended. But no matter what, when you embrace the offense, it almost becomes like it's your offense. It becomes your problem. And you have heart issues that you'll have to deal with. Matthew 18:7 says this as a warning to those who cause offenses. It says, woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come. But woe to the man by whom the offense comes. See, we don't realize, because we think, when we think of sin, we usually think of the biggies, what we call the biggies, as the big problems. But let me tell you, in churches, in most churches, you know, the big problem is not adultery. It's gossip. What hurts more churches is lack of unity. And that has to do with people being offended in the body. See, the Bible pictures the church as members of the same body, each one having a different function. You have arms and eyes and ears and feet and hands and elbows. But if there is offense in the body, and it talks about every joint supplying to the body, every joint giving and every joint receiving what the rest of the body does. But if there is an offense in that body, it does not work together because of things that they harbor in their heart. It affects the whole body. We cannot afford to be offended. We cannot afford to listen to things that people might say. Let me tell you, the church is not perfect. People make mistakes. See, we don't want people judging us when we make mistakes, do we? I mean, if you mess up, you don't want to be judged, do you? Then why do you judge other people who make mistakes? Why do you expect perfection in other people when you're not perfect yourself? See, we need to turn that on our own selves. You need to give grace to the degree that you receive grace. But there's people in churches who are vicious. I'm not saying this one. I know. I talk to pastors. They talk to me. There are people in churches who are vindictive and whatever. There's a story in Numbers chapter 16. I don't have it on the overhead. But there's a guy by the name of Korah. This is when the children of Israel were in the wilderness. And Korah was offended at Aaron and Moses. And his problem was he didn't like authority. He wanted to have authority. And he didn't want to submit to God's called authority. So he goes. Now, is he offended? Who's he offended at? He's offended at God, first of all. Because he wasn't chosen to be the authority. He's offended at those who are the objects of God's authority, Aaron and Moses. So he goes among the people and he begins to stir strife. Look at that Moses. Isn't he haughty? He thinks he hears from God. We can hear God as good as he can. We don't need him to rule over us. We don't need his authority in our life. You know what he's doing? He's setting himself up to become authority. He got 250 princes to follow him and their families. Do you know what happened in the end? I don't have time to go through the whole story. But they confronted Moses and they confronted Aaron. And when they did, the earth opened up and swallowed them. In other words, it was death to them and their family. Now, we don't see that happening today. I think maybe if we did, some people would straighten up. But I don't know. But here's something I do know that happens. People get offended about something. They stir it among people. People begin to listen to that and they separate themselves from the body of Christ, and they separate their children from the body of Christ. And you know what begins to happen? Anytime that we're isolated away, Satan has a heyday. Satan has a heyday. And I have known of people. I've been in this a long, long time. I've been here 30 years. I've had two other churches, so I've pastored almost 35 years. And I have seen instances where people became offended because of a borrowed offense. They pulled their family out of a church. And the next thing you know, their children become rebellious. They take on the same offense. They take on the same spirit of offense that their parents had. They rebelled against authority. So guess what the children do? They rebel against authority. They rebel against the authority of the parents. And then they say, I don't know why this happened. It started with a borrowed offense. It started with a borrowed offense. Folks, can I say this? We need to be smarter than that. We need to be sharper than that. We talk about this quite a bit. You know, you don't listen to everything that you hear. I don't care who they're talking about. I'm not saying if they're talking about me. I'm not just saying people. I mean, I have people get mad at me all the time. I don't understand that. I'm a lovely guy. But I do. You know, maybe somebody comes in and, you know, they're wanting help with something, and maybe they're off the street, and I know that they're running a little scam, and I say, no, we can't help you. So they go out and they come to one of our members. Yeah, I went to your pastor for help and he wouldn't help me. And it offends somebody in the church, and they have borrowed that person's offense. You better be glad that I don't help everybody who comes to the door, because we couldn't pay the light bill. We couldn't make the building payment because we get inundated with requests. And if word gets out that you help everybody, pew. See, we got to practice stewardship. But see, stuff like that happens all the time. And it happens not just to us. It happens to other churches. And people, they get out and they start bad-mouthing. And church people buy into that. And the first thing you know, they're offended. And so they don't come to church anymore, because they have borrowed the offense. But they don't know that the spirit of that offense will get on their children. See, the Bible talks about the sins of the father being visited to the third and fourth generation. Vic Porter tells a story. He said he pastored in Yellville for several years. And there's a fellow that come in and he was having marriage trouble. And come to find out that he was slapping his wife around. Well, that would offend most people, wouldn't it? And as he began to minister to him, Vic said something and he kind of struck out at Vic. He didn't hit him, but and Vic saw what the problem was. And he says, you know what? Your dad slapped your mother, didn't he? Said the guy broke down and began to weep. His dad was abusive. And he saw and was offended by the way that his father treated his mother. And he vowed in his heart that he would not be that. But he says, you know what? I have found myself doing the same thing that my father did. See, it's a borrowed offense. The offense between his father and mother, he took it in his heart and he didn't know how to deal with it as a kid. Kids don't know how to deal emotionally with stuff like that. And so when he became an adult, he began to do the same thing. It was a borrowed offense. See, we don't know how serious those things are. They can go from generation to generation to generation to generation. So especially among the church, we don't need to open the door to any kind of offense like that. See, an offense is a seed. An offense is a seed. You know how offense comes? It usually comes through words. Do you know what James said to Jerry? What have I just done? I've opened my mouth. I've released a seed. And if the person that I say that to receives that into their heart, what is the heart? What does the seed look for? It looks for ground. And this is where we come in, because you are going to hear offenses. You're going to hear them in the workplace. You're going to hear them in your family. You're going to hear them at church. You're going to hear them out in the world. And if you're not sharp, you're going to allow the seed of that offense to find ground in your heart. And you know what your heart will do? If you'll allow that seed in your heart, it will begin to produce in your life. So the seed is looking for ground in order to grow. And when it grows, it produces after its own kind. And this is what happens. And this is how strife spreads. This is how offense is passed from generation to generation. This is how offense is passed through a church, through a family, through a workplace. That's the way it happens. But you know what? Love covers the sin. A person who is walking in love, first of all, will not receive that offense in the ground of his heart because he knows what it will do to him. Because you will become offended too because it produces after its own kind. And the next time I see James, I won't even look at him. I won't talk to him. I'll stay away from him because he offended Jerry. I borrowed the offense and I don't even know the story. A lot of things are based on lies in the first place. Did you know that? Amen. Oh my. I want to end with this verse of scripture. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23. It's the very last one. This is one that I use a lot. But we usually use this when it comes to the word. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Did you hear that? Guard your heart. Heart is where the ground is at. That's why you got to be careful what seed gets on the ground of your heart. Guard your heart above all else, for that is where your life is determined. Your life follows your heart. Your mouth follows your heart. If you allow the wrong things in your heart, the wrong things will come out of your mouth. And you will begin to do the things. Your life will just follow your heart. You ever heard people say, well, just follow your heart? Sometimes that's not good advice. If you got a heart full of offense, of hate, of strife, then don't follow your heart. Follow the word. Put the word in your heart. Then you can follow your heart. Because you got the right seed in your heart. When you got the seed of offense in your heart, you don't have the seed of the word on the inside of you. Did you know, and I just thought of this, our whole life was an offense to God. There's none who does good. No, not one. Our whole life outside of Christ was an offense to God. I'm so glad that he was not offended, or Jesus didn't borrow that offense and say, you know what, Lord, they offended you. I'm not going to go die for them. But you know what he did? He came and died because he loved us. His love covered our offense. It did more than that. It paid for our offense. And now we have life and life eternity. Let's pray. Prayer team, come. I don't know what the Holy Spirit has said to you today. I'm not sure what he's spoken to your heart. I don't know, but maybe there's some things that you need to deal with today, and you need prayer to do that. But we're going to give you that opportunity. Maybe you're here today and you've not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. That's the most important thing that you can ever do. Anybody up here can pray with you to do that. This is why we open this up, that people can come to Christ. That people's needs can be met, that concerns that the Holy Spirit raises in our hearts, you can pray about those things. So as we begin to pray, you respond and come if you need prayer. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your word of warning that we can't afford to become offended or borrow other people's offenses. Lord, speak to our hearts today. If there are offenses or borrowed offenses in our heart, help us to deal with those things today. Those things that we hold against other people. whether our own or borrowed. Help us to deal with those things today so that we can be out of prison and we can be free. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?